from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Lanham for the legislature today at the State Capitol building. The House of Delegates passed a salary bill today providing pay raises for state police, teachers, and school service personnel. But will it be enough to avert a teacher strike amid growing frustrations over salaries, problems with the state's insurance provider, and teacher vacancies? We'll be joined in just a few minutes by the presidents of both the West Virginia Education Association and the West Virginia chapter of the American Federation of Teachers. But first, senior reporter Dave Misich recaps debate over the House's committee substitute for Senate Bill 267.
Senate Bill 267 calls for a 2% salary increase for teachers this year, with an additional 1% raise in each of the three following years, a 5% raise overall. School service personnel and state troopers would get a 2% increase this year, with an additional 1% increase in fiscal year 2020. While Republicans argued that fiscal responsibility is key, many Democrats begrudgingly stood in support of the bill, saying it shows a lack of priorities on behalf of the Republican majority. Delegate Riley Moore, a Republican, addressed those remarks.
For me, I think we both want to raise public employees' pay, want to raise teachers' pay, and the idea that one side doesn't and the other does, I think, is misleading in its narrative and disingenuous.
Delegate Marshall Wilson, also a Republican, says any additional hikes would cause higher taxes and inevitably put the burden back on teachers and other public employees.
I'm grateful for this opportunity to demonstrate my concern not only for our employees, our state public employees, but also for our employers, the ones who pay the bills, the taxpayers. This is a great opportunity to demonstrate our support, our appreciation for both classes of people, and interestingly enough, our employees are also our employers as taxpayers. So in doing this in a responsible and in a fiscally responsible and thoughtful way, what we're actually doing is we're providing them with that pay increase without then turning around and taking more taxes away from them.
Delegate Jeff Campbell, a Democrat and teacher himself, pushed back on the conservative approach to raising salaries. Like many other Democrats, he agreed to vote for the bill, but said it's not enough.
We've heard things like living within your means and fiscal responsibility. West Virginia's public employees don't need lectures on fiscal responsibility when many live paycheck to paycheck.
Amid growing talks of a possible teacher strike, Delegate Mike Caputo expressed concerns that the bill would not satisfy the demands of unions, who just this weekend were authorized by their members to call for a work action.
I predict that we're going to have thousands of screaming state employees filling these halls before we leave town. And I predict that we're going to have to revisit this because they are not happy. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. I believe we've neglected their service for too long in the state of West Virginia.
Delegate Sean Fluharty argued that the bill sends a message to teachers that the legislature gives priority to businesses and special interests rather than the people of the state.
What we do here is say to the public, just trust us. Just trust us, guys. We'll get it later. They're tired of that. I think I speak for every public employee when I say, we can't be trusted. We can't be trusted to do the right thing. What we can be trusted to do is follow the strings that are attached to our backs by the corporate sector that control us, control our votes,
to the gentleman,
control our agenda, Mr. Speaker.
In closing debate, House Finance Chair Eric Nelson acknowledged that he wished the raises could be more, but said the current version of the bill is the most responsible way forward. He also noted that the Senate's version of the measure called for a 1% salary hike for teachers each year for 5 years.
We finally have some positive prospects. And look at the first thing that we're doing. We're putting something positive forward. This is a positive step. This is a top priority. We've stepped up and are putting a plan in place that is significantly better than what the governor proposed and has improved over what the Senate proposed.
The bill passed on a 98-1 vote, with Delegate Fluharty being the only nay vote. With changes made in the House, the bill heads back to the Senate for concurrence. For the legislature today, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Joining us now are Christine Campbell, president of the West Virginia chapter of the American Federation of Teachers, and Dale Lee, the president of the West Virginia Education Association. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So we just listened to some of the debate that happened on the House floor session, and I wanted to get your reaction to some of the remarks made today. I'll direct my question to you first, Ms. Campbell.
Well, it's interesting because we watched all the debate on the amendments that came from the minority the day before, and then there's actually another amendment that came out. So now that all of those things are off the table and it's back to 2-1-1-1, then the debates were pretty much the same when it comes to fiscal responsibility versus priorities. And I think that our folks are listening because they want to see a pay raise that actually will keep people in West Virginia. And I don't know that the priority is exactly what they hope or expect. And I feel like we are really in crisis mode in public education when it comes to the vacancies. And I think that it's going to be really hard for our members to take this as a real step forward.
Mr. Lee, what do you say?
If you want to see economic growth in West Virginia, it's going to be centered around the education system. And you can't have an education system with the number of vacancies that we have and say that's a driving force. Priority should be to our education. It should be to our children. And it should be to the teachers and the salaries and making them competitive so that we fill all those vacancies, not have those openings. The 2-1-1-1 doesn't do that, and we've told them that from day one, that it doesn't fill the need, it doesn't stop the anger out there, and it's not only salary, it's a combination of several different things, the salary, the PEIA, the attacks on their seniority, and the attack on their paycheck with the Paycheck Protection Bill. And they're to the point where they've had enough.
And I do want to get into PEIA here in a little bit too, but first off, let's go over some of the changes that the House made on this bill, because it's a little bit different than what the Senate has passed. Now, as passed, the bill, as you had mentioned, gives teachers a 2% raise for the first year and a 1% raise for each of the next 3 years. Do you think that this is enough to avert a potential strike?
Well, I think, as Dale said, it's a combination of things. So we are dealing with two issues that have to do with finance, the finances of the state, and issues that don't have to do with finances of the state have to do with their rights. So I think when, you know, some of the comments I saw after the vote were the original 1% for 5 years, then the option of 2-1-1-1-1 and then 2-1-1-1, all these different combinations, people are out there saying, that's 5% over 5 years, that's 5% over 5 years, and this is 5% over 5 years. So that's what they see, that we haven't really moved in another direction from where we started. It still all adds up to 5%.
Yeah, so it really is an $808 across the board raise. It's not a 2% total for every employee. It's an $808 raise in the first year, and then it goes to a $404 raise in each of the next 3 years.
Which is different for teachers and service personnel.
Right.
But coupled with the increase in PEIA, and we know that there is a measure that's been taken to freeze it for a year, but we also know there's another, you know, $50 million hole coming up at least on top of the 29 that's coming. coming out that is going to be frozen this year, that's the cost of that. So everyone has said from the beginning and continue to say, the employees out there are saying, we need a long-term solution. We need a long-term solution on vacancies, and we need a long-term solution on our health care.
Now, a lot of the delegates said that they wish that they could do more. Democrats said that the chamber should have adopted their amendment from yesterday, which, as you mentioned, it had a 3-3-3 schedule, so it was 9% over 3 years. Today they reiterated some of their arguments from yesterday of this is about priorities, and they mentioned some things that they believe could be cut out. What was your take on some of that debate?
Well, I think there are folks who are looking for solutions. And I think there are folks who are saying, well, sorry, we can't do that, we can't do that. I mean, we've talked about revenue opportunities or possibilities, and we hear there's no will for that. So we don't know how we're going to make education a priority if we're only willing to move things around as opposed to what can we do that could be a long-term solution.
And it is about priorities. And for the teachers and service professionals out there in the field, they don't view themselves as a priority of this legislature. With the actions that were taken, they are not a priority in their minds. And they're angry, they want to do something.
And they see that priority need as a priority for public education, which is about the students. So if you are in a classroom and there are three classrooms around you and none of them have certified teachers in there, they see the direct impact on the students from not having highly qualified, experienced people next to them in their schools or even their own children.
So is 9% the magic number?
There's really no magic number. It's a combination of the four things that we described. It's a combination of the pay, combination of a long-term solution to PEIA, and the combination of deflecting the attacks on seniority and their rights, and telling them what they can do with their paycheck with the Paycheck Protection Bill.
But the salary does play a part. I mean,
the salary does play a large part. But again, there's no one magic number or one magic bullet that you could say, if we give you this, will it stop the anger out there? Because it won't stop the anger. The anger will still be there on the other issues too.
And this didn't come overnight. It's been boiling up for a long time. But I think that our folks out there, and it's not just teachers and service personnel, it's public employees, it's community members, and even parents now, who have said, what are we doing for public education? And they see that all of these things have to be addressed in order to fill these vacancies and to make sure that we're providing the best education for our students. And they've seen this. We've been at these public hearings for our health care for years. And wasn't too long ago that we were $120 million gap in just for PEIA. So as we've had discussions, more and more discussions here during the last few days and the last couple weeks, and they're increasing. I feel like we're in a meeting more. We're in meetings with leadership and different folks, or even the minority leadership, than we are these committee meetings, because you can see nothing's really happening in the education committee meetings much this session so far. So we appreciate the discussion, but we also are talking because, continue the discussion, because it is more than just one thing. And I think all of those things have to be addressed. And I don't know how we're going to slow down the anger, because we're not really seeing a piece of evidence that the priority is in front of us, or that it really is going to be a priority for this session. So I think folks are frustrated, but they're also educating themselves on the process and the specifics of the bill, and that's exciting. People are paying attention and they're saying, yes, this is not okay. And it's not just coming from our employees, it's coming from the communities as well.
We have tremendous parental support out there. When we've had the walk-ins in the various counties, the parents who come and join the teachers to walk into school has been phenomenal. When you're having the informational pickets on the roads, the number of people that drive by and honk their horn, it really is reminiscent of 1990 when we had the groundswell of support for education and for teachers back then.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, this bill now goes over to the Senate to concur with some of the changes that the House made. We talked to Senate President Mitch Carmichael earlier about the pay raises. We'll listen to what he has to say.
We'll have to take a look closely at the fiscal implications, providing 2% in the first year. We recognize that, again, that's not enough. We want more pay raises for both our public employees and our teachers, but it is incredibly
important. How many people do you know?
This budget in an efficient manner. And unfortunately, legislatures in the past have just not done that. And so we need to make sure that we have the money to give these raises. So we'll thoughtfully evaluate our friend's proposal from the House and see if we can find a way to make it work financially.
So we heard what Senate President Mitch Carmichael had to say about that, and a lot of other Republicans have echoed his points of we just can't afford to do this right now. What is your response to that, Ms. Campbell?
We can't afford not to do this right now. We have too many vacancies out there. We have too many children whose education is suffering for us not to afford to do this. We find money in budget to do almost anything they want to do. We found money over the last few years to make major cuts in business franchise tax and everything else, and the guys are bringing more jobs to West Virginia. Well, we've said all along that the centerpiece to bringing jobs to West Virginia is the best education system possible. No company is going to come to West Virginia when they hear we have 727 positions that are vacant out there. That's not going to attract businesses. What's going to attract businesses is to say, we have one of the best education systems in the nation out there. And we have great teachers in West Virginia. We can achieve that goal, but we can't achieve that goal when teachers are leaving in droves to the contiguous states because salaries are just not competitive.
Now, another major issue that we've kind of touched on from here is issues with PEIA benefits. Now, last night, the Public Employees Insurance Agency held one of its first public meetings, one of three that they're going to have. And this is on their revised plan, which, again, is to freeze the plan at the previous level. So total family income would not be part of this, and the application, Go 365, would be voluntary under this proposal. Both of you said last night that a freeze is not a fix. Can you elaborate on what a fix would be or what you meant by that?
Well, let me first say that I heard, you know, people saying, oh, there'd be 40 or 50 people there and there were 500 people there. And another exciting piece is that we've talked to some of the legislators that have never been at one of those meetings and they have starting to attend. So they're seeing firsthand some of the issues that our people actually face. So there's much more awareness within the legislature and within the communities on that. But a long-term approach has to be, one, the notion that we've heard floating around about putting together a task force to address these issues, but that has to be coupled with what potential long-term funding stream can you dedicate to the rising cost of healthcare? It's a national problem, but our folks were given health insurance at one point in time in lieu of pay raises. So now their healthcare costs are outweighing any pay raise that they're getting. So that's the main focus here, is not freezing, but what are we really going to do to address the long-term rising costs of healthcare, and how can we dedicate some funding measure to PEIA?
And the big component to that is having a seat at the table. We have to be able to listen to the people that are involved in the plan. We have to have a seat at the table so that they hear directly how this affects the participants. And we can't continue to fund it on the backs of the employees. We need to have a seat at the table so that we can discuss all the future problems. and have everything on the table like the funding. But with that being said, it's not something that happens every year. When you go in November, the finance board rolls out the plan, says here's what it's going to be, and then few tweaks are made from it because of the public comments. There's a difference when you're in from ground one, from day one, in helping come up with a plan and the solutions to that plan.
Now, I talked to the director of PEIA last night, and he said that a freeze is a fix this year. He said the intent is to come up with a more long-term plan or a revenue stream for next year. What would your response to that be?
Well, we'd be happy to see that. That's what we've been calling for. And I think the frustrating thing is that our people out there, our teachers, our service personnel, are rising up. They're standing up and saying, this is not okay, enough is enough. And it's just really hard because they had to get to that level of frustration before people start saying, oh, maybe we should do something about this. So this is great, let's do something moving forward, but at the same time, it should have never gone this far before we started talking about a task force or a long-term funding stream dedicated to PEIA, any kind of multiple year package to get our salaries more competitive with our surrounding states. We're still $5,000 to $20,000 below just the states around us. So that's why when people say, well, 2-1-1-1 is the best we can do this year, we went from 46 the last time we got a raise, right back down to 48th the very next year. We only have two slots to go to be at the bottom. So with, you know, the cost of living around 3%, that's why the proposed amendment from the minority leader and the Democrats, it really was, that's 3%, at least we are moving in a direction that makes sense. As Dale said, it's always about priorities, and where there's a will, there's a way, and they want to see that there truly is a will and find a way.
I've been here for 10 years as president, and I hear all the time, we want to do more, but there's always that but after there. We want to do more, but we have to wait until revenues increase. We want to do more, but when the jobs come, we're going to do more. People are tired of waiting. We've waited way too long, and the anger is there. It's time for the waiting to stop, and it's time to show a priority to the educators of West Virginia right now, and to, more importantly, to the students of West Virginia. That's the most important piece to all this, is the best education system for our students.
And I should mention, too, with this PEIA plan, that the Finance Board still has to conduct two more hearings, and then they're going to meet again on the 20th to vote on this. And there's still also a $22 million that they're looking at to put into this plan, to freeze the plan, to see where that's coming from as well. Is there anything specific that you would like to see from PEIA just besides more funding into it? Like, what would you like to see specifically?
Well, like we were talking about before, we would like to see a more focused group of people who do come from the PEIA plan participants that can, you know, propose ideas, can work to find solutions. We hear this, the Finance Board, but we lost two seats last year due to a change in legislation. There were some folks on there who had been on for a while, had the experience, had gained the knowledge, and now we're looking at, I don't know, six of the board members are new to this. So it's going to take time, excuse me, for them to understand it, but also bringing the folks in who actually participate. And I do think this, the wellness or family, what's it called? The wellness program, yeah. That we really have to look at that, because people didn't know that that was going to be punitive. It was proposed or as a rewards program. People think a reward is you're going to have a reward at the end, not a punishment if you don't meet this criteria. So I think the Ted Cheatham as the director and the board need to be really clear on what's happening. I'm really shocked at the legislators that have said, well, we didn't know that they were going to do total household income and use your tax return. We didn't know this Go 365 was punitive. So I think they can do a better job of communicating with the participants.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for this evening. Thank you both so much for joining us tonight. Again, we have Christine Campbell, president of the American Federation of Teachers West Virginia chapter, and Dale Lee, president of the West Virginia Education Association.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This concludes the legislature today. Please join us again tomorrow evening at 6 as we follow the action of the 2018 legislative session here at the Capitol Building. I'm Andrea Lanham for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us and have a great evening.